Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 474. My name is John Morgan, and Cole Coffee is with me on this gorgeous... Wow, I heard that.
Like, what fucking time for that? Just for it to want to burp, like, I mean, right? Just, couldn't wait just a little bit
basically
longer.
Basically threw up in his mouth right there. What a way to start things out. I was going to say
a throw up.
What a gorgeous last Wednesday of April it is. I believe that's right. Next Wednesday will be May 1st. So,
yep.
Temperatures dropping. It got a little hot. We got a little heat a little bit earlier. I'm always bragging about April and October. We had like some 90 degrees rolling. Got a little toasty, but it's settling back down. Cold fronts coming through. We're getting
last
little bit of spring here in Las Vegas.
Envy energy, our energy. People are starting to lick their lips, lick their chops. They're like, uh-oh, if it's starting already. It's funny because I was talking to the guys like, so me, I typically set my air. If it's winter, I keep it cold.
Right.
If it's the summer, I try to go as long as I can before it trying to kick on. So I have it like set for like down here. It doesn't trigger till it's like 80 degrees.
Right.
Upstairs, when I'm not normally up there, I put it like 83 or something.
How about the east wing?
The east wing, I just let them just deal on their own. Okay, I'm just like, just send me
so
a memo.
Far away.
Yeah, when I notice the bill starts adding up, I'm like, what's this extra expenditure out here?
Oh, a lot of people might not realize they haven't been here. The east wing is the staff quarters, so that's where they.
I let them do their thing. I try not to mess with them. I try not to impose my temperatures on them. You know, my temperatures can be pretty harsh.
They can be pretty harsh, but just keep it nice and toasty. Is what you're saying
because
the air conditioning bills, the electric bills get.
Nuts.
Insane.
It's nuts. I don't know how you do it. I do the equal payment thing, so it spreads it out over the whole year. So even when it's not using it, it's kind of a constant sort of payment. I finally got it to zero.
Yeah.
I got the back stuff cleared up. It was gone, so I still pay the due. But I was like, yes, now it's just all credit. Now they're going to want to lower my bill because they're like, he's not carrying anything over. And then the weather decided to say, ha, 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 young friend, ha, ha. This money.
I just pulled up my checking account actually. I use Quicken to balance my.
What's your number? What's your checking number?
Don't need to worry about that, buddy. Don't need to worry about that.
What's that routing number?
I use Quicken. So there I can easily pull up my bill. So I pulled up my Nevada Power. I think it's called Nevada Energy now, but I just kept it in my thing as Nevada Power. It looks like my highest last year was paid on September 1st. $344.71.
That's not as bad as I thought. No? You were going to say something before, but that's high.
Yeah, that's high.
That's high as hell.
And then my lowest, actually, it looks like in April of last year. Now you know why I like April and October. April of last year, it looks like my Nevada energy bill was $93.80.
Not too bad. Yeah. Well, especially having a kid that games. You like to game with your kid.
Yep.
And you have and you work from home. So that's not too bad. But yeah, so the difference of like the equal pay is it takes your overall what like it amounts to your yearly bill and it sort of averages it out for that particular month and then it gives you a route. So ultimately, they want you to kind of just end the year at zero if they could, or in their favor of you owing them a little bit. But they don't. It's to try to balance it out so you don't get like a $400 payment.
Right.
It's hard to justify because you never know what it's going to be.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you try to decide what you're going to set aside.
I've been in the same house for 12 years, so I kind of know the rhythm.
You
kind of
know.
But yeah.
So it's tough. But, yeah, so, like, it this switch back right now with these winds that are kind of picking up again, it's bringing in this cold front, it's very, very welcome because, you know, like – if you haven't, we tell people come out. This is still a great time to visit. You still got time to come out here before it starts getting crazy. But we've seen the coming tides. I mean, we saw that last week. Even when it got up over like the 91, I think one point got 92, 93.
Yep.
It still felt pretty good because, you know, ultimately the Breeze are still going, but it was a definitely a stark reminder. Teaser. Like, it's coming.
Little tickle. Let you know what's coming.
Because when we sat outside, even the last, I think the last pay-per-view, like, it wasn't so bad. Like, that's why I think so many people were outside ready to go in because the temperature was
great.
It felt great. They were just getting some sun and everybody's enjoying it. In 2 months' time, you'll roast if you sit out there so long. A lot of people like to say it's just Vegas and people show up late. That's true. But depending on the time of the year, you can't sit out there.
You can't stand out there. Nokia Plaza is just concrete.
It's just
and
open
sun
concrete.
And
it's just the heat just bounces back up from the concrete and it just burns you out. We've seen people pass out there, you know, when they stand out there too long.
And stuff like that.
It's scary. So, yeah, I mean, I love the weather right now. It's funny. When we were just driving back from the Apex, and even when I drove over there this morning, there's still that last little bit of snow cap on the top mountains, and it's beautiful. You look over there. It's funny. I was sitting there, and I finally – you could easily pick out sort of where Red Rock where Red Rock Casino is.
Right.
And it looks so small, and then you see the mountains off the distance. You still see, like, the snow up there, and it's just – it's beautiful. And we say it time and time again, you know, this is a great place to visit during this time of year, and it's just – it's beautiful right now. But especially that you could see the last bit of, like, snow up on the mountains.
Pretty wild.
It's very picturesque.
It is.
100%.
It's gorgeous out here. Yeah. Well, as you said, we were just at the UFC Apex. We just wrapped up Media Day for UFC on ESPN 55. Not the most – highly anticipated fight card of all time, but we'll break it down here a little bit, talk about some of what we saw in there today. But, man, it dawned on me while I was there, like, it's my last media day for a while, which is crazy to think about because, you know, we had this stretch of a ton of events at the Apex to kind of start the year, and now things are starting to travel a little bit.
And you were at all of those.
Oh, so many of them. I don't believe. I mean, I'd have to check the records to see, but I'm pretty sure I didn't miss
one. Pretty sure you're right.
Yeah, I think I was in every single one of them.
You needed the break, sir.
Well, now the break's been great. And so let me say, first of all, I almost skipped today because my son had a doctor's appointment today.
Yeah.
And my wife was like, hey, I would really appreciate it if you could be there for the doctor's appointment. And I was like, well... Now that I think about it, I have missed a couple of media days, and I was like, I don't want to miss another one. So if it's okay, you know, she's like, no, that's cool. You go ahead and be there. I was like, I just hate to miss another one because I've had to miss some other ones. But I just want to give a shout out to the little man, rolling jiu-jitsu. He had a takedown, and look, if you've ever been in a kid's jiu-jitsu class, they literally start every class with break falls, basically where you practice the proper way to fall backwards, forward, sideways, all those things. And I'm sure that 99% of the time those kids are like, why the hell am I doing this? We do this every time. I don't do it. But my son definitely learned the importance of it. He was, to his credit, he was wrestling, grappling with the biggest dude in the class, like a 14-year-old kid that's pretty big dude, but he likes going with him because it gives him
a challenge,
you know, so he enjoys it. And the kid just like speared him with like a football tackle, double leg, and when he went to brace, I will give my son credit, he didn't try to post, because you never want to post. If you're getting taken down like that, you never want to post that arm, but that's when you get those nasty arm breaks. But he didn't hit the arm correctly when he hit down, and so his elbow hit the mat. And got a little hairline fracture there or whatever. So anyway, he kept training for a couple of weeks, but he kept saying the elbow was sensitive to the touch and it was hurting. And it was just kind of, you know, didn't complain, but was just like, I don't know why this damn thing keeps hurting. So we took him to the doctor to get checked out just to make sure there was nothing wrong. And it was funny because he actually was like, I think maybe something's broken. And me and my wife were like, come on, nothing's broken, dude. Like, you're good to go. And yeah, it turns out this is something worse.
Sure,
but to his credit, he kept grinding through it. But now they've said, hey, chill for a little bit. We're going to have to let that rest up. So he's going to take a couple weeks off. So anyway, shout out to him for being tough and dealing with it and fighting through it. But now he's going to have to take a few weeks off. But I was glad I was at the media day today because, man, listen, after this, goes to Brazil. I thought about going to Brazil. I didn't pull the trigger. I would like to go see Jose Aldo compete. I mean, that's a big one. Not that I'm not excited about, you know, I love the flyweight division. I know a lot of people are really kind of pooping on Steve Irsay getting a title shot. But it made sense. There just weren't a lot of names available. And Pantoja, of course, wanted to defend his title in Brazil. Not to mention they needed a main event. So we'll talk about all that next week. But I like crazy underdog. I mean, what if Steve Irsay goes in there and gets this done? I mean, the dude's good. He's shown that he's got skills. So anyway.
Crazier things have happened.
That would be one of the craziest stories in UFC history. So I would have liked to have been there.
But how many people, if he did, just imagine how many people he can say, y'all were bitching about me getting this shot. Look what happened.
How about that?
How about that?
Belt around the waist.
He's doing the belt. John's doing the belt gesture.
Belt. Got the belt. I would like to see Jose Aldo and Jonathan Martinez. You know, it's unfortunate that wasn't Jose Aldo and Dominic Cruz as they initially tried, but that's still a hell of a matchup. And I got a lot of love for Jose Aldo, man. He is a legend of the game. So, anyway, not making the trip to Brazil. A little too expensive. I was going to try to pull the trigger on that. Not making the trip out to St. Louis for fight nights. I probably won't normally hit the road for fight nights moving forward unless there's, you know, an incredibly compelling reason why I need to do so.
Yeah.
But then May 18th is back at the Apex. I'm actually traveling to Belgium. I'll be on the call there for Apollo MMA 1. With my man Simon Head, so I'm excited, bro. Like we're gonna call fights together, so we'll have the details on that in the upcoming weeks. Still, everything's being finalized as far as broadcast plans and where you can check it, all that. But I just know I get to hang out with my man Simon Head, so I'm looking forward to that. Then Memorial Day weekend, there is no UFC event. There will actually be. I don't know. Well, I don't think I can say what. There will be something going on at Memorial Day. I don't think it's been officially confirmed yet, but.
You talking about from the UFC or outside?
Not UFC, not outside of the UFC. There will be something going on Memorial Day weekend that I will be a part of. It's not my job to announce those things.
But you can.
No, it's different when you're collecting paychecks from them. Then it's their job. When you're a reporter, it's your job to break any news that you want. When you're getting paid to work for them, it's their job to break it when they are comfortable with it. June 1st, I will be at the Prudential Center in Newark, so I'm looking forward to that. But I'm flying in for the press conference. June 8th is Louisville. I'm not making the trip out there for fight nights. June 15th is a UFC Apex event. We just announced, actually, that we're going to be having a CFFC event and a CFFC Muay Thai event that week, so I'll miss that one. June 22nd is Saudi Arabia. I'm not making the trip for that fight night. I look forward to watching that one on ABC. And that takes us all the way to June 29th in UFC 303. McGregor versus Chandler, International Fight Week. That's the next media day. I'm going to do is in late June.
That's crazy, man.
So, I'm glad as much as I wish I would have been there for my son, and I explained to him, unfortunately, I don't think there's too much trauma. I'll go home. I don't think he's too mad at me.
Yeah, I think if it was something serious and you realize, it'd be one thing if he was in pain and it just happened. Y'all went putt-putting the other day. Probably good.
He's okay. He's probably okay. Exactly. By the way, that place is cool, man. Popstroke.
Yeah.
If anybody saw my social media, this is a chain, so they have them out there. I think a lot of them are in Arizona. They just
is it a mom and pop place?
Oh, Popstroke. Yeah. Mom and Popstroke. No, it's I don't know where they are. I have heard some people kind of bagging on the name, but Tiger Woods I know is a partner in it. But it's mini golf with but the courses are designed to look like actual golf courses, right? But there's no water, but there's artificial grass, and then the sand is the thicker artificial grass. So if your ball goes into the sand trap, it's definitely harder to putt out of, like it would be hitting out of a sand trap. But two courses. Right there at Town Square here in Las Vegas, which is an outdoor shopping area over by the airport. I think four different bars in there, which was cool. I think a whole bunch of different places. We were playing some ping pong. They had some, other things to do out there. It was foosball, what's it called? Throwing the bags.
Frisbee golf?
No, the bag.
Cornhole.
Cornhole. Yeah, cornhole. I know I couldn't think of that because I didn't grow up calling it that. Had that out there. I mean, so it was fun, but something new. So if you're a local here in Las Vegas or you happen to be making the trip, dude, it was kind of fun. It was nice to hang out. I will say they do have some really, really, really good misters, but they're gonna need it, man. It's outdoors.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you make sure you wear a hat, put some sunscreen on, because we're just talking about the heat here in Las Vegas. But anyway, cool place.
Interesting.
All right, we'll talk about the media day. Did want to mention CFFC. UFC.
Speaking of, and I wonder, and I thought I heard this, and I was trying to track it down because it's called Popstroke. he used to call his dad, I believe he called his dad Pops.
That's right.
So I think it was probably, you know, in reference or, about his father.
I've heard that as well. It's probably Woods. In there. Yeah. Yep. So there you go. And then the stroke part comes from his affinity for ladies. And
yes, indeedy.
I know. I think it would be a golf stroke. But all right. Anyway, moving on. UFC
he has quite the numbers in that area.
He posted numbers. Oh, it is cool. Speaking of posted numbers, here's one thing they did do. I guess this is, you know, whatever you do, you're supposed to, like, gamify, right? That's a thing. But if you keep your score on the app that they have there at PopStroke, they actually have, like, these big, like, video, like leaderboards everywhere.
Oh, shit.
So you get your name up on the leaderboard like you would at a golf tournament or whatever. So it's pretty cool. It's a cool spot.
Doing little things like that, it's amazing how that competitive side of you will come out once you see your name. I remember playing Golden Tee.
Oh, yeah.
Who didn't get hyped when you saw your name on the leaderboard? So I can only imagine if you actually walk into a place and you see your shit. But then at the end of the day, you're like, bro,
it don't mean nothing. But it's pretty cool. But put your
like,
name up there.
But I'm winning at putt-putt.
Exactly.
I'm winning. And I saw that you said that Eli got a hole in one.
He did. Yeah, we had. So we played both courses. So the way they do
So what's the both courses?
So it's not cheap. So they have two 18-hole courses. And then they also have like a challenge hole, like a bonus hole in case you have like a tie or something like that. But there's two 18-hole courses. One is more like flat and family friendly, and they said like ADA friendly as well, more family friendly because it's easier. And the other one is more like hilly and crazier, right? And that was a little tough. So we did both of them. I won our matches on both courses.
Yeah, you did.
Of course, you know what I mean.
You don't You don't hold back.
Nah, man, you don't
gotta
miss
teach
putts
Junior
or
a lesson.
Let them know, Dad can whip your ass. All right, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got to know. So I won both of them. But he got the only hole in one of the day.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah.
Was it on the hard course?
It was
or
on
the
hard course,
nice.
Too. Yeah. It was slick, man. It had a little dog leg to it, and he hit the roll just right.
That's awesome. I think the last time I did putt-putt was the Kiss indoor neon one where it's like all glow in the dark.
That one's fun, too.
It's
over
fun,
the Rio.
But it, like after a while, your eyes just start bugging
can't
with you.
See it.
You
I know.
Can't see it. Like it's fun to do like maybe once. I wouldn't see myself doing that multiple just because like going through it, I was just like – my eyes were bugging out. I think I was starting to flash back. But it's fun. It was
fun.
If
you're looking for something different to do, that's another different thing to do that's kind of fun to do.
Yeah, that's a fun one. Very cool, man.
All right, man. So UFC 304, official for Manchester. We've been talking about it for a while, pretty much knowing that was it. But the news come out that it will be much like UFC 204 was, which is late night Manchester. Now, I will always have good memories of late night Manchester in England because – we had the big MMA Junkie crew. We were rolling pretty deep back then. You know, we used to have a crew. We had a big Airbnb. We rented out like this big – I think it was like an apartment basically, but it was big. There was a lot of rooms and stuff in it. And we just decided that probably the best approach to doing this because the fights were going to be late at night, just like they are going to be here, where the normal time U.S., so those ridiculous crazy times in the morning, England time. And I was like, look, guys, if we're going to do this right, you know – we're going to be really tired on fight night unless we stay up all week to those times of the night so that we're used to it. Got to get acclimated. You know what I mean? So basically, we just stayed up drinking until like 8 or 9 in the morning like every day throughout fight week and then slept all day and then went to the media thing and started the process again.
See? Dedication.
Dedication.
Dedication to the process.
And it was it was an experience because, like, we'd be going out to eat at, like, 3 or 4 in the morning, like, trying to just get some food. And there was just, like, drunk-ass Manchester people everywhere just looking to brawl. You know what I mean? Like, like drunk English people, man, they want to fight. Like, they're just, like, there doesn't need to be a reason. You know what I mean? Like, you didn't have to do anything wrong. You didn't need to offend anyone. You didn't need to say anything. You didn't need to step anybody's way. It was just, like, you know,
it's what we do.
We're gonna fight. Let's fight. I'm like, bro, I'm just trying to get some chicken nuggets over here. Like, what are we doing?
Wanted fish and chips. They wanted fists.
Oh, look at that. Fist and kicks.
Fists and kicks. That's it. Can I take some malt vinegar with those?
But I tell you what, it paid off. It paid off because fight night, we were fresh as daisy, and people were like falling out on Media Row.
Yeah, because wasn't like it was like 5 a.m. or something, like the main event walk or something close to that.
5 a.m.
That is ridiculous.
5 a.m. And then the other thing I always remember is that to get to the press room from the floor, there wasn't a way to like go through the arena. Like you had to go up the stairs, like up the concourse. And I remember leaving after the fight was over and seeing all these. I'll never forget that image where it was all these like beers sitting on the ground. Like, I'm like, why do these people leave all these beer cups here? Like, now, like, oh, that's pee. Like, oh, like they just didn't want to leave their chairs. Yeah. So they peed in their cups. There was a lot of them out there. So shout out to the arena crew that had to fill clean things up. I guess that's probably why they opened a new arena, bro. They saw that pee in there.
They're like, we're just leaving.
We're just leaving this arena.
Locking the door. We'll see you later.
We're building a new arena.
See you later.
That's millions of pounds. That is what it is.
You're like, eh.
Gotta make sacrifices.
I feel like on some of those old venues like that, you know, when you're in like the, say they've had media events underneath it, when you're there and you see the stuff like dripping underneath from the risers, half the time you never know. I just assume it's either beer and piss that's coming down underneath. It's the grossest thing when you're underneath and you see that shit coming through and you're just like, oh, please. Dear Lord, don't let that touch me. Don't let that touch my gear.
I had that happen one time, and it was like, I can't think we were in Houston or something, and it just dripped onto my Rode mic, that I use for like room noise. And I had to order a new sleeve, dude. I was like, this is gross.
I don't know what this is.
I have no idea what this is.
It's either bodily fluid or beer.
I'm not carrying it around in my bag. I can tell you that. I'm getting rid of it. So listen, I think. Some fans are going to be frustrated. I get it, but I think it just goes to show, you know. I mean, look, we've talked about it before. The UFC, you know, they say 10-20% off the top in pay per view sales on a decline when they do early in the afternoon because people are just so ingrained in the U.S. market where the biggest pay per view market is that this is the time the fights come on. You know what I mean? And so if you're going to do it on pay per view, they take a huge financial hit. And I don't think they want to take that financial hit, obviously, and so they're going to do it late at night. You know, I'm sure the place is still going to sell out. Man, the place is just so in demand right now. And if the card comes together like they say they wanted to, where you've got Leon Edwards on there, where you've got Tom Aspinall on there, and that's all, you know, once that's all made official, the place is going to sell out, man. It's just going to. I've seen some people speculating, oh, but they're going to struggle to sell tickets. Like, man, they sold it out last time. They're going to sell. I'm down.
I mean, because they're just itching for a fight over there.
Just hitting us over here, isn't it?
They're just itching for a fight, man. I mean, like, of course they're going to be down for it. And it's just, you know, if there's a people that are willing to stay up late drinking and get rowdy at all hours in the morning, you know, the early morning, it's going to be that Manchester crowd, you know. But you feel bad for them because, you know, when you think about it, it's a pay-per-view. That's just ESPN. You know, that's their money. The UFC's already got their money for it. It's not like the UFC needs to really worry about how much money they're recouping from it. I agree with that. Years passed before that deal where the UFC's like, we got to make the most money. But ultimately, right now, it doesn't affect them whether they sell 5 or whether they sell 15. Maybe just to keep ESPN happy.
No, they get part of the pay-per-view revenue, I believe.
Maybe a part.
I
don't know. I don't know what the percentage is. I know that was part of that. I mean, when you're paying however much they were, I thought the ESPN got the pay-per-view
money. I mean, they do get the majority of it. That's for sure. They're paying like a flat rate. Now I'm trying to remember the details because I'm pretty sure they still get a little piece of the bonus. But yeah, dude, it's probably. I mean, look, ESPN doesn't want to take that hit. Like, bro, we're paying you this amount of money. We want it to be at the time that we know will sell the most.
I wonder what time. I mean, it's not like any. I guess I mean, pay-per-view. I mean, like, I'm sure there'd be. If they did it, even if they did it in the middle of the night for us so that it was a reasonable time for them, what time would that be? That'd be afternoon?
It'd normally be afternoon for us. So if they did it prime time England, it'd be afternoon.
It just depends on what it'd be competing with. I think it would still work fine.
The customer habit. Like, you try to get the word out, you try to educate, you try to get people to, you know, hey, don't forget this is a day pay per view.
But they haven't even told us who the fight is. Well, they're like, oh, we're going to trust that you're going to want to pay this. We're going to make the best buying window for you, but we just can't tell you who's going to be there. I mean, we can all sort of assume.
Right.
It's just kind of weird, you know. They're putting the cart before the horse or something. Like, we're going to trust that you're going to buy this. We're going to put on the best time, but. We're not sure what's going to be yet.
Right.
You know, I mean, like, it's just at that point, you know, you figure at some point every pay-per-view can't be the greatest. At some point, reward the locale where you're at, and your diehards are going to buy it. But, I mean, like, if it's a morning or afternoon, that's still not a hard lift for us here in the States. It's one thing if it starts.
I'm good with it.
Yeah, I'm completely fine. It's one thing if it's like, okay, guys, 3 a.m., is when it starts. Then it's like, okay, then now I understand you can't justify that. If you try to ask the U.S. market to pay for something that's at 3, 4, 5, 6 in the morning, they're not going to do it. 7 in the morning.
Right.
But if it's 11 a.m. or noon, that's no problem.
It's just
I have no problem.
They have the historical data that they can just take 20% off the top. like just consumer education.
This card you could probably take 20% off the top anyways.
Wow.
You know, I'm just, let's be honest. Like, I mean, a lot of these pay-per-views, are you going to, you think this is going to stack up with some of the other recent pay-per-views?
I mean, obviously you got International Fight Week. I mean, which
100%.
You know, you, obviously 300 was insane.
And I would be interesting to see what the repeat rate is on buys. I mean, I mean, obviously if people count like, hey, I watch every stream illegally, but how many people
who
are actually buying the repeated
pay-per-view?
One? I guarantee, like, if they're only buying, if they look at the numbers and say, I think on average we can get two or three pay-per-views from a diehard, that's probably a pretty good.
You think a diehard only buys two or three a year?
I'd be interested to see. I mean, how many do you think?
How many pay-per-views?
There's, what, 13, 14?
Feel like they don't want to miss a single one.
Yeah,
like they buy them all.
$100 a month just to watch a fight. So that's a hard lift.
$79 a month. Plus taxes.
Plus taxes. That's a hard 80, lift.
$87.34.
I don't know. I mean, like, I know me personally, if, you know, luckily I can, you know, I can expense things, so it's not a hard lift. But if I had to justify paying $300, $400, $500, $600, $700, $800 towards, like, a sporting event that's not maybe in my favorite thing, I don't think I could justify it.
No, that's true.
I'd be interesting. I mean, the people that listen to our show are definitely diehards. How many of you, I mean, what's the average for you guys? How many are you guys actually buying? I'd be surprised if the average was, all right, maybe two to three. I was going to say maybe if five to eight, I think, is an extremely dedicated person. I think if somebody's buying more than 10, you're the person that the UFC loves the most.
Right.
I think five to eight is, that's dedication right there. I mean, I think anything between two to three is probably
that
pretty
is
darn normal.
What's the percentage of, well, I mean, that might be not the way to put it, but yeah, how many people are there that buy literally every pay-per-view?
That's kind
of, like,
that's
what's
such
the percentage of fans? What's the number of people? Like, whatever it is. I mean, is it that, you know, I think, you know, the baseline now, I think, is, I mean, obviously everything's changed, but I think the baseline now is like 150,000 or something like that. Is it the same 150,000
right.
by all?
It can't
you,
be,
you know what
right?
I mean? Or is it always
the price? Because what was it? Was it last year when it was still like $59.99, or did it already go up to like $69 or $79
or
something like that? And now it's at what, like $79.99?
Yeah.
It just creeps higher and higher, and you got to think that number of repeat buys. I think I know. If I personally, I'd have to justify. I'm like, okay, International Fight Week maybe. 300, if I was leading up to 300, that would have been one I was saving up for. You know, and then outside of that, okay, I know I want to get Fight Week. Then there would be another one that I'm like, all right, some major, maybe an MSG card or something where the card's big, or a big return. Outside of that, then you're just buying it to buy it, you know? I mean, we say this over and over again, like with the frequency that sometimes the market's oversaturated. It's almost like if they're telling us every card is the next best thing because they want you to buy
it. How can it be?
But it can't be,
yeah.
You know? And it's just tough. And, you know, right now we know the cost of things is just getting through the roof. I have to think that somebody that maybe used to buy 8, 9 more pay-per-views.
Everybody's cutting back on something.
I would think if you are 5 to 8, you are a dream for them. I think they would probably like, that is wonderful that we can find somebody to buy that much, because that's guaranteed roughly just say $500 to $700, $800.
I'd be interested what that date is.
I guarantee they don't want to share that.
No, they'll
that,
never
we'd
share
never,
it.
We'd
and they
never
know,
get that
they,
stuff.
I mean, they know.
It would just be people saying like,
accounts.
Well, count me in this list. Count me in this column or whatever.
But no, I mean, they have the data, because now it's not like, like watching TV over the air is really just estimated data. But when you're talking about, like, you have people's accounts that have to click and log in, like, they know exactly what accounts. They have that data, so it would be interesting.
I mean, I guarantee the majority of people, not that whatever, it is what it is. A lot of people, I'm thinking, are probably repeat streamers, find that stream out there, because, I mean, it's pretty easy to find some of those streams out there as much as they try. But as for legit buys, my guess is that if somebody's paying 2 to 3 a year, that's pretty good. I think that's a pretty, not, I don't want to say high, but I know if it was me, if I bought 3 pay-per-views out of my own money, I'd be like, be grateful, be grateful. So I don't know. It'd be interesting.
And if you did buy 3, would you just find alternate methods for the other 9, or you wouldn't watch them?
Well, luckily I don't have to. But other, if I was somebody else
in this hypothetical world,
I would be streaming. So or now Twitter. Half the time the fights come out on Twitter, like, you got Twitter clips.
It's crazy,
like,
right?
It's
the whole thing,
unreal how much some like that shit. I don't understand how, if they're worried about people streaming, like, bro, like the clips are on Twitter like immediately after, and you could see all this stuff. But it's not quite the same. You don't get the build up. You don't get the commentary, yeah. You know, which does add into it.
I mean, you need the commentary.
You need the commentary.
I'm telling you, as a commentator myself, I would say that, you know, it's just not the same experience if you don't have the commentary.
You try not to let Morgan influence you, but when you hear that booming voice, you're just like, I wasn't excited till I heard him excited.
Morgan got excited. I'm fired up.
Like, I'm super fired up now.
Oh, that's funny. All right, well, listen. What do you think?
All right, you pick your number. I would say, all right, a poll, whoever's going to finally respond to this on our Patreon channel, go ahead and respond. I would say, on average, being truthful, don't tell me your streaming numbers. How many do you guys actually buy? I'm just going to say the average is between 2 to 4.
Of our audience?
Yeah.
Of our audience? Nah, I think our audience is 6 to 8.
Ooh, that's a lot.
That got to be hard. I mean, these are hardcores.
I know, but that's asking
a lot. I mean, there may be some.
That's a good number, though. I wouldn't be surprised if it's 6 to 8.
You know what I mean?
If it's over 10, I'm like, Mark Fellows. He's just traveling the world.
Mark Fellows doesn't have time to buy 10 pay-per-views, bro. He's like, they always come on when I'm on a plane. I'm traveling somewhere. Oh, Mark Fellows ain't got time to buy 10 pay-per-views. He's listening to 8.5 so he can know what happened because he ain't got time. He's like, bro, I was in the middle of traveling to Vietnam, and then I went over to Singapore.
And then I was on my way to Japan. I was going to go see the Sakura Festival.
What was I supposed to do there? I had no choice. All right, listen, we'll be talking about UFC 304. I may go over there for that one. I'd like to. I'd like to go see all the old Euro boys over there if I can get a chance.
That'll be fun.
It's just going to depend on some scheduling stuff.
you're gonna get there so you can teach them how to stay up all night.
I got to show them.
You got to show them the way.
Guys, let me show you the 204 way.
Youngins, gather round. Let me tell you how you need to treat this week.
Let's see, how long ago was UFC 204? UFC 204 was 2016, so that was 8 years ago. I'm still good for that. I think I am 8 years older now.
Well, I mean, what are you gonna do? You gonna fall asleep before the fights ever happen if you go over there? You gotta get your body right.
Gotta get your body right.
You gotta start training.
Gotta train yourself with some 12-ounce curls. All right, listen. You see, on ESPN 55 is not the only combat sports happening this week.
Oh, really?
I would say probably the one that might get the most attention, honestly, is Knucklemania 4.
Yeah.
And I say that chiefly because of two fights, and probably even more just because of one. The main event is Platinum Mike Perry versus the ATT legend Thiago Alves. And then the other one is the featured fight. Boy, these past PBRs are just wearing a man
catching
out.
Catching up.
Telling you. Todd Duffy and Ben Rothwell in a heavyweight fight, man.
That's
going to be a heck of a lot of fun as well. You do have Lorenzo Hunt versus Mick Terrell in there as well. That'll be a great fight. Julian Lane is on the card. But anyway, I think those two big fights off the top are really going to be what people are talking about. And I had a chance to catch up with Platinum Mike Perry a little bit earlier this week. I think I've been giving it some consideration. I think if everybody's okay with it, and this is another thing we need feedback on, I think I'm going to try to include some more interviews in here from time to time. I know we love to chat, you know what I mean?
Yep.
You know, let's,
we used to do it all the time.
We used to do it all the time. And then I kind of got away from it I got to figure out exactly what I want to do. But I think I want to include some more interviews because people want to hear from fighters. And I think it might be important. Mike did, you know, has done some media. I think it might be important to, like, pick some people that aren't doing, like, every show.
You know what I mean?
Like, find some alternate ways. I got some ideas in mind. But anyway, I had a chance to talk to Platinum Mike Perry. I only had, like, a little tiny window of the week that I could make it happen. And shout out to BKFC and Mike Perry because they were like, if that's the window you got, we'll find a way to make it work. And
that's awesome.
They squeezed it in. So that was super nice. It wasn't even the time that they were actually initially offering, and they shifted the schedule around. I was like, no, sir. I was incredibly apologetic, and I'm like, listen, if you can't get to me, I totally understand.
Mike likes you, though.
But I got this window right here. Yeah. Mike is cool, man. Mike has always been very nice.
And that's a good get, man. He is quite the character. He's quite the character. He always gets the good. He gives the goods.
He did, and he did again. So let's bring you that now. Here's some words from Platinum Mike Perry. It is a Platinum Mike Perry's fight week. It is the king of violence himself headlining Knucklemania 4 this Saturday night in Los Angeles. Mike, I got to ask you, man, 4-0 in BKFC now. This isn't new anymore, right? This isn't like a new adventure. You're not feeling it out. I mean, you've done this. So what's fight week like for you, man? Is it the same as MMA? Different? What's the feel ahead of a big bare knuckle fight like this?
Ah, man, it's just it's pretty great, man. I gotta say, I've done a lot of work up until this point, and I'm feeling really great about it. I got a tough opponent in front of me. I'm ready to showcase my skills and my abilities and see what I'm made of, man. And I already know I'm made of platinum. I already know I made it. And it's just more work to be done. And it's staying on top that means a lot to me. It's staying unbeaten and keep doing what I have been doing, which is hurting these guys and putting them through punishment and coming out victorious. And I think that we could go to the stars after this one.
I love it, man. We'll talk about the matchup in a second with Tiago Alves, as you said, another MMA legend. But I got to ask you, man, you've been with BKFC for a little over 2 years. You've absolutely become the face of the sport, and the company's marketing you that way. I mean, they're reaching out. They said, look, this is our guy. This is the face of BKFC, the face of the whole sport. Man, what's it like for you? You put a lot of work into this game to have a company that's willing to put you out front and say, that's our guy. We're riding on him.
The fighting is natural to me. I'm grateful. I'm blessed. I'm honored by, you know, I'm grateful to God and for my abilities in this, and it's the other stuff that I'm working on, talking with you guys and trying to make something out of the things that I say, trying to make a point, trying to make statements. I can make that statement when I get in the ring. And that's what's so great about being a fighter. And for me, it's so fitting that, you know, when I get in the ring, I don't have to worry about anything else but this one guy in front of me. And at the end of the day, it's me versus me out here. I'm battling against myself. And, you know, Tiago is a testament to that because we are very similar in size and stature. Toughness, and you know, he had a bare knuckle championship belt, and I got the King of Violence title, and we're going to the fight on Saturday. It's I don't know if he thinks about it as much as I do. I think about it all the time, and I'm grateful to all the parts involved, including his bald-headed ass. I'm grateful for him. That he's going to be there on Saturday, and he's looking to put on a show himself, and we're going to toe the line. We're going to meet in the middle of the ring, and I'm going to bust him up, and I'm probably going to get a little busted up too, but that's all right with me. There's nothing quite like that feeling the day after the fight. I'll be traveling back home. I'll get to see my son. I might have a little black eye or a cut on my face or a busted lip. Who knows? Maybe I should stop talking. I'm digging some things for myself. And as long as I win at the end of the day, man, I don't care how ugly it is, because we know I like to get in there and make it dirty, nasty, and ugly. So that's what I'm looking forward to doing.
I love it, man. I think the matchup on paper, like you said, it looks amazing. Tiago, obviously respected by MMA fans. I mean, he fought for a title. He was a BKFC champ. But you stared him in the eyes, right? I mean, you've looked into his soul. What do you think about him? It sounds like you got some respect for his fighting skills, but what do you think he presents to you as an opponent?
I think, I haven't seen him this week. You know what I mean? This week is when it matters. I didn't really look into his eyes. There was no time for all of that. It's, no homo. I will look into his eyes this week. No pause on that. And I'm going to stare into him. Maybe through him. I know I'm going to punch through him. So I'm looking forward to seeing what happens this week. And I just believe he's been nice, but I've been talking a little shit, so he might come in a little meaner this week. And, you know, look, I'm going to be mean regardless in the ring. And I'm sure he'll try to be. So we'll see if he meets me in the middle. We'll see if he's, you know, I'm thinking he's going to be less patient than I think he is, but I think he's a little slower in the way he throws some things. I might eat those words a little bit with that little weak jab he's got. He throws a 1-1-2. Maybe there's an uppercut in there. I might eat some of those words, but I plan to eat them and take them as I have been known to do. I won't quit on myself, and I won't let him quit on himself or the fans. I'm going to make him face the pain and the punishment that I have prepared for him, and I'm going to put my fist through his face until he falls down.
I love it, man. You're getting the talking part pretty good, too. You already got the fighting stuff, but you got me excited, man. This run, Michael Page, Luke Rockhold, Eddie Alvarez, Thiago Alves. I mean, did you even envision a run like this when you left the UFC, or has this maybe even been a surprise for you? Because this is an incredible run of fights.
Thank you. I believe somewhere in here I had all this planned out. Great people came together and they were like, look what Mike does when he gets in the octagon. I think I'm the best boxer that ever graced the octagon. I'm the only boxer that's ever gone in the octagon and won and whooped on these guys. And I took some hard fights. I had some good lessons in there, but mostly it was just, decisions. I could be outpointed at times. And that was more through kicks, maybe ground control, just a lot of these guys running away from me. And it's harder to do in a boxing ring, especially with no gloves, that bone pain that they feel when platinum hits them in the face. I love boxing. I love the brawl. I love my left and my right hand. I love my chin. I'm grateful for my ability to roll with the punches, take the punches, and come back and give you more. I think I talked with Stats about my people on Overdogs podcast, and we were talking about, that one of my biggest stats is that me and my opponents hit each other the same amount of times, but I'm knocking them out or I'm stopping them or TKOing them and I'm getting the wins even though we're hitting each other about the same amount of time. So, that just means that I'm putting more into it than they are.
I love it, man. Well said. Look, this fight is going to be amazing. Your fights have been incredible since you left. I got to ask, even though you're the main event, I do want to throw this out there because I know you're a fight fan. Ben Rothwell and Todd Duffy. Dude, that's going to be chaos. That is going to be absolutely insanity. Are you looking? I guess you won't really be able to watch it because you'll be warming up, getting ready for your fight. But as a fight fan, you got to be fired up for that one too.
Well, I'm hoping I'll be watching at least on my phone in the back. If there's not a TV back there that I can watch, I'll find a way to watch to get warmed up watching. That's definitely a chaotic one. I mean, I went to a BKFC event in Clearwater, Florida recently, and those guys put on a heck of a show, man. Every fighter came out, and they had something to fight for. They wore their pride on their shoulders, and they fought hard, and they put on a very entertaining show. And I have no doubt that this show will be extremely entertaining. I mean, you got Lorenzo the Juggernaut Hunt fighting Mick Terrell in the co-main event. And then, like you said, Big Ben Rothwell versus Todd Duffy, two ex-UFC guys, two big, big-time guys. And Ben Rothwell has, we've saw him one time in that bare-knuckle squared circle. And it was quick. So it'll be nice to see him come back. I'm sure Todd Duffy's going to use his footwork a little bit and move. So we'll get to see a little bit more Big Ben Rothwell, see how his gas tank is. Looks like he's been slimming down, training a lot, though. And there's a lot of other great fights on the card. All these guys, all these warriors are going to put in the effort and try to steal the show.
I love it, man. It's going to be a great fight. It's Knucklemania 4. It's in the Peacock Theater in Los Angeles. If you can get tickets, access.com there, or you can see it on the BKFC app. Mike, you mentioned it. You got the podcast that's going good. The fighting is going great. Man, it looks like the family life is going great. I mean, what's the goals right now that's driving you, man? Is it just about getting paid and supporting the family? Are you looking for belts? Are you looking for a return to MMA? I mean, what are the goals that you're trying to knock out? Because it seems like, man, just everything's pointed in the right direction for you.
Thank you. I do have some ideas. I do have some goals and a hit list, if you will. I'm looking to win this fight this weekend. That's number one on my list right now. And then once I do that, I do have a few names that I would like to call out and have them brought to me on, you know, in that order. And on that list, I guess I can say MMA is not a part of that list. These are boxing fights, you know, whether it be bare knuckle or if there's another way, you know, Jake Paul is definitely one of the names on that list that I need my shot at. I need to get in there. If he can get through this mic, that mic, then he needs to fight this mic. And that's just a fact. So people have been calling for it. That's a fight I want. You know, he's a little bigger. He should have some size on me. There should be no excuses. And that is a fight I would like to get. And like I said, after this fight on Saturday against Thiago Alves, we're shooting for the stars, brother. So Hollywood, here I come. I'm coming to put on a show in the West Coast, Los Angeles. It's actually, you know, I hate to take this from Jorge, but this is the most violent show on earth. Not the bare knuckle MMA, because they just be hugging and holding on the ground, and we are not allowed to do that. There is no pause in the action. We have to toe the line and throw fists at face as much as we can, as fast as we can, to get these guys out of there. So this is the most violent show on earth, in my opinion, especially being a Platinum Mike Perry main event bare knuckle card.
I love it, man. I think it's going to be a great event. I hate to hear that you're not looking at MMA, but, hey, you know we're all going to watch you over in BKFC.
I'm open, though. Okay. If the UFC wants to do something with me and bring me in, because, look, don't get me wrong, but they got to have to pay, bro. I'm doing two-minute rounds over here. I'm smashing these guys in bare-knuckle boxing. It's my rule set. It's your fist against my forehead, which wins. And my fist against your face, which wins. And if they want me to go 5 minutes, and I can still grapple, and, you know, I had to practice some of the kicking again because my kicks ain't as good as they used to be. I wear shoes now, man. I like the outfits. I got the shoes. I got the whole fly fit coming out. You know, they had to talk to me. So I don't think they're worried about that. They want some green new bodybuilders coming in who look like they worked hard, and then one of them's probably going to get knocked out. And they're only going to pay 10 and 10 for that. So, you know, if they don't want to come this way, that's fine. I'll still go and watch. I love the UFC. UFC 300 was amazing. I always look forward to their fights. Those people put down the work, but there's just something different about a Platinum Mike Perry bare knuckle event.
I agree. You are somebody that has created their own fan. We'll follow you wherever you go, man. I believe that. We know you bring it every time you're tank. So, Mike, I told you before in person, but I'll tell you again, man. I'm so happy to see how well you're doing in all aspects of life. And it's a blessing to have you in this fight game, whatever organization you're in. So just enjoy the spotlight this week, my man.
Thank you so much, brother. Shout out to my family. Shout out to John Morgan for having me on. Shout out to my sponsors, Ken Pye, Market Cypher, and Young LA.
Mike, always a pleasure, brother. We'll be tuned in on Saturday night, Knuckle Mania 4.
Cheers, John. Enjoy.
All right, there he was, Platinum Mike Perry. Fire as usual, man. Looking forward to that matchup, the run that he's on, the things that he is doing outside of the cage, the things that he could have lined up inside. Well, I guess outside of the ring, I should say, not the cage right now. But he did say he's open to it, although kind of the way he laid it out, like, I don't think that's happening anytime soon. But still, nevertheless, that'll be a fight worth watching. So if you got a chance, BKFC this weekend, Knuckle Mania 4. It's happening in Los Angeles, as mentioned, or you can watch it on pay-per-view. Now,
someone's going to bleed in that one.
Somebody's definitely bleeding in that one. There is no question about it. That's going to happen, man. It's sad because I really do like the matchup stylistically, but I hate it because I love both those guys. I love Mike Perry, and I love Thiago Alves as well.
Thiago Alves is about one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet.
The best. And I mean, he's been around the game and you know, forever, and always was classy as a fighter, but now 100%. He's basically a coach as well, and so
Good to see him going.
Yeah, so. One of them. Well, they both. I think they're both going to get busted up. Mike always bleeds, but Mike makes his opponents always bleed.
Oh yeah, going to be an absolute blast. All right, listen, UFC on ESPN 55. Only 8 fighters today at media day. You and I were of a select few media in attendance. Some of our normal brethren were traveling or had some other things going on. One more reason I'm really glad I did show up today because it would have been a little light in there. But I thought. Honestly, media day proved pretty entertaining today. I thought it actually ended up being pretty good. It's funny because you got Matas Nicolau and Alex Perez in this main event. Of course, it was not Alex Perez initially in there. I do think that's kind of funny because he always gets busted on for, like, you know, having fights fall through and having to withdraw and have medical issues. And now you got an issue with Manel Kopp. And guess who comes in here to save the day? He wasn't biting on it. I tried to set it on a tee and let him kind of talk shit and be like, yeah. But he was like, nah, 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 it's all good. He's like, I know I've had my issues, but I'm glad I could fight. I'm just trying to stay busy. So he's back. You know, Nicolau, meanwhile, hasn't fought in a year, was supposed to fight Manel Kopp. Then there was the big weight miss with Manel, and so he didn't fight it. And then they rescheduled it, and now he's out of it. So because of this, you basically have two fighters that are both coming off losses, one that hasn't fought in a year, one that recently returned from a year away and suffered a setback. And so I get it why people aren't exactly just clamoring, they're like, oh, this is a big, big main event. But it is still number 5 versus number 8 in the UFC's flyweight division, so it does have some meaning there. It is still the week before UFC 301, where, of course, the flyweight title will be on the line, as we mentioned earlier. So it does have an impact in the rankings. I don't necessarily know that either of these guys are jumping right into a title shot. Nicolau might have a better case at that, but who knows? I get it. Like, I understand everybody's first. So I'm not going to sit here and try to tell everybody, like, oh, this is one of those fights that's not getting enough love. I mean, I do think it has the potential to be a really high-quality matchup.
Yeah.
It is meaningful in division. It will cause some rankings to move. But it doesn't have – well, we always talk about, you know, having some immediate implications on title pictures and things like that. And it doesn't really have that. So this is one of those ones that, of course, I'm going to be tuned in. I mean, I'll be in there. I'll be at the Apex and watching. And, you know, if you're a hardcore fan, you probably want to at least throw it on in the background or catch up on replay or whatever.
Maybe turn the audio on if you're hardcore.
If you're hardcore, listen to it.
Don't just background it. Listen to it.
No trash talk between the two guys. Neither one of them are that kind of guy.
No, 100%.
In fact, Alex revealed that Nicolau had been to his house.
Yeah,
and they're like,
time
you know,
together.
So, you know, he's like, we don't consider ourselves like buddies, but he has been over here. So, anyway, I don't know. I guess what I'm saying is if people want to criticize, I completely understand. I get it. And I won't sit here and try to say that it's more than it is, but I will just say, hey, it is still a meaningful fight in the flyweight division, especially in a flyweight division that's kind of chaotic right now. And, by the way, a flyweight division that is Steve Ersig pulls off the win next week in Brazil is going to be insanely chaotic. So
it's
a victory here could
ridiculous.
Be very, very important. Other than that, you know, I think it's I just think it's a matchup.
Yeah, and I mean it's tough because it has the unfavorable spot of being sandwiched in between two pay-per-views.
Yes.
I mean, we did have the week off last week, you know, so at least it's not immediately sandwiched in between, but it still is, you know. So we talked about earlier about, you know, trying to gauge the excitement level of the diehard fans. You know, you just had the big, huge 300. Anything immediately after that, people are going to be having a little bit of, you know, just hangover from that event. You know, like
100%.
Nothing's going to make you excited after that event. And a lot of people could say that going into 301 is like, how can I get up for the next pay-per-view when I just was giving a card where every person on the card was main event worthy, mm-hmm. you know. For this particular one, what I like about these ones, and we said before, you know, that, you know, again, people like to shit on Apex cards. They like to shit on some of these fight nights. This is one of those cards. Not every card is going to be the number one and number two contenders. There's just not enough contender spots for that
right.
to be every fight. But this is one of those ones where, again, it's a fight that means something for the division, a division that has a lot on the line coming up. And that's kind of what these Fight Nights cards are for. You know, it's kind of like to see the upcoming people that are kind of vying to get into those, you know, big, big contender spots. And a lot of those times, those contenders, those number one contenders are on those pay-per-views. Where else are they going to be besides some of these shows? So for people to hate on these type of shows at the Apex, I'm like, brother, they all can't be on the pay-per-views.
100%. I mean, and look, this is one thing I hear too, man. Like, don't forget, you do – and again, I always say stress this – You don't have to watch every show. This is not 20 years ago.
We do.
Yeah, we do.
But we get paid for it.
But we get paid for it. It's our job. But you don't have to watch every show. So I'm not trying to sit here and defend that, dude, you need to watch every show. Like, you can't miss this or you're going to miss out. I like watching them because I like finding prospects and I like seeing the development of the divisions and all those things.
And it's just a lot more fun than all the other sports on TV.
100%. Like, I don't want to watch
some of the other ones.
Nah,
I'm just
I can't
like,
watch anything else.
I'm like, eh.
Once fighting takes over your life, dude, you can't watch nothing else.
We're ruined.
Absolutely ruined.
I think we're just ruined.
I need to see people fist
I was
fighting.
Enjoying the hockey the other day because we're getting into playoff hockey.
Yep.
But then after that, I was just like, well, I enjoyed it because it was nights and
cold
stuff.
Nights,
but, like,
yeah.
But I was just like, other sports, I'm just like, just aren't
nah.
the same.
Just don't, they don't, they pale in comparison. But I always think it's important, too, to remember, you know, I hear people talk about, like, oh, you need less fight cards to be better. Less fight cards means less fighting opportunities for fighters.
Right.
And don't forget that. All these fighters right here, maybe you think they're getting underpaid, but at least they're getting paid. And if these cards weren't happening, these people wouldn't have the opportunities to fight.
Yep.
They wouldn't have the chance to develop into the fighters you want them to be, to gain that experience, to move their careers forward.
The size
so,
of the USC roster, if they couldn't have these to like work through, they would never, ever fight. You know, and you look at a format like, say, the PFL. They was it six people in each division get into the regular season or something along
ten.
Those like 10. That's not a big roster.
No,
that's not a big roster at all. You know, so not everybody even gets into those things. So like, if you want to start taking away events and you're taking away opportunities for these people to earn money, it just doesn't make any sense. And you know, like again, I like these cards. I like. I'll never be mad about an Apex card because it takes me 5 minutes to get down. It's easy stuff. But it's more fights. But yes, I understand that every fight's not going to be your number one contenders, but not, you know, the others have to fight somewhere. So this is one of those cards where there are some fun matchups in here. I mean, Lipsky and Karina Silva, that's going to be a fun fight.
Should be a fun fight. Both of them doing very well. Karina Silva obviously has been just tearing it up since she came to USC. Three straight first round finishes. Lipsky's kind of had some setbacks, but now
her
she's
last
on a
fight
run.
Looked great.
Great fight last time out. They're both fired up, ready to go. An interesting choice of doing it in Las Vegas a week before there's a card in Brazil.
It's so
Brazil
true.
Versus Brazil it in does, Las Vegas.
That does, now there, I can see where somebody's like, why didn't we just hold that for the next one? That made much more sense
now,
to be on that.
And Lipsky, I think, actually lives in SoCal now. So it's not like she probably didn't care because she's like, whatever. I don't know.
Like, but, we don't want to have to fly the Brazilians back to Brazil.
I know, right?
They're already there in Brazil. We'll take them.
But it is weird. Like, Brazil versus Brazil, a week ahead of Brazil, that was weird.
And these are two real legit fighters that people are interested in that division.
Yep.
So it would make sense if you're going to really sort of spotlight. And what better than to actually have the Brazilians get behind their own?
Mm-hmm.
You know, take them back. They would love it. You know, they would love seeing them. They love seeing the people that are rising up in the U.S. because they embrace them. And that's why you always see times where Brazilians don't want to fight other Brazilians because they have a sort of a shared struggle of what it took to rise up to get to the UFC.
Right.
So when these fighters actually go back, the Brazilians embrace them. They love seeing them. So, like, if you have two that are actually rising up and they're being embraced by the here in the States, you got to imagine that their fan appeal back in Brazil has got to be through the roof, you know? So it just would make more sense that they would have them.
I was trying to see if there were any cards or any fights on the UFC 301 that don't involve a Brazilian where it was, like, an American.
Yeah.
There's not. There's a Brazilian in every single one because then it would really make no damn sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, because we've both been down there on plenty of cards where, you know, it feels like they bring an American down to be the heel to lose.
100%.
You know, like I remember going down there when Andrade was fighting Nama Yunus down there. Like, it was just like, it was such enemy territory.
It
was just so unreal. And I think there was another American on that card as well. So you notice it. You notice it when you have somebody from America that goes down there. Yes. You know, I mean, because Brazilians love rooting for each other. I mean, they love rooting for the Brazilians, but when it's Brazil and Brazil action, they're still going to be rooting for blood. You just maybe don't hear that you're going to die chant.
They're still cheering for it. All right, look, you talk about intriguing matchups. Ryan Spann versus Bogdan Guskov is very intriguing. Ryan Spann was great today. You know, not always the best guy on media day. A lot of times it's like he doesn't want to be talking to us.
Well, that's going to say that's a better way of putting it because it's not like he's doing anything wrong. He's doing anything.
No.
He's just short. His answers are always very short.
Tell,
and sometimes like weight cut and it's just like energy. And I think he even alluded to today. Like he was carrying a lot of extra stuff into those fight weeks that was distracting them.
Yep.
So today we saw the in costume. His head was on right. Yep. He said he felt like in a different space, and you could see it.
If you didn't catch the Ryan Spann interview today because you're like, why would I listen to a Ryan Spann interview because they're usually terrible? It was good.
Different.
Definitely worth checking out. Like you said, he even alluded to it. He's like, man, he's like, you know, what do you guys think? You're around me a lot. Yep. What do you think? How am I today? And we were like, way better.
Way better.
There you go. Said he took the 8 months off since the last fight on purpose to really get some things right in his fighting career and in his personal life as well. And he's got those details all sorted out. He said he's in a much better place. I did find humor in the fact, and he did as well, that he really thinks he won the last fight. And a lot of the media scored his last fight against Anthony Smith for Ryan Spann. It was a split decision, some controversy there. It was a close fight, but you know, a lot of people felt that he won that fight. And then they match him up with the dude that looks exactly like Anthony Smith. And he actually got a little giggle out of that. He chuckled a little bit. He's like, it is kind of messed up, huh? And I was like, does it kind of feel like you can get revenge on him if you beat him here? You know, the doppelganger version of him. He kind of laughed a little bit.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, Bogdan Guskov, man, dangerous dude. Obviously lost his debut, but battled back for a win last time. Has finished every single opponent. So, you know, doing a good job speaking English in his interviews. You know, he's getting the questions translated for him to make sure he understands them properly, and then he's answering in English. So he's trying to connect with the fan base. And man, when you fight like he fights, you definitely can. He was funny as well. I think he was asked about the resemblance to Anthony Smith as well, or you know, was just asked about the potential of fighting Anthony Smith, who looks just like him. He's like, that guy has a pretty face, man.
Beautiful face.
I like that. We all kind of cracked up in the room with that. But that has the potential to be real fireworks. Yep. So that should be a lot of fun. We didn't see Austin Lane and Jonathan Denise. They kind of changed the order up a little bit. We did see Austin Lane, who just came in.
He came in to say hey to you.
He's such a nice guy. Always a nice guy. He's always talking about hitting some of the local spots down in Jacksonville. So he's always been an incredibly nice guy. But he's going up against a dangerous dude in Denise. So that'll be could be a potential fight. Jonathan Pierce and David Onama, I mean, that's one that's I got that one circled as a potential really, really good fight.
Yep.
And then the main card kicks off with two guys we did speak to in Tim Means and Uros Medic. Tim Means, great as always. I mean, you know what he's about in there. And he was fantastic. And Uros Medic, I mean, look, you know, he kind of explained his last performance was very frustrating and admitted, look, I was getting ready for a striker, and then they changed it to more of a grappler, and I had not been working on my grappling at all. And it showed in my performance. But he's ready to go throw down with Tim Means.
He's getting in this one.
I love it. Tim Means at 40 years old is saying, look, man, I know the end's coming, but it's not here yet, and I'm ready to go throw down. So
you always know what you're getting with the Dirty Bird.
That main card, again, I'm not sitting here trying to say don't criticize even. I get it. I understand why people aren't loving the main event, the circumstances, all those things. But I'm with you on paper. I think there's some fun fights in there. I think that main card should be fun. Has some nice matchups in there.
Yeah, I mean, we'll jump down in the prelims as well. I mean, you got Rani Yahya. I mean,
dude,
like,
come on.
Like, as the future bout, like, that's ridiculous.
Yahya, like, to me is like, you talk about a throwback to old school. I love seeing that dude in there because, like, a throwback to old school MMA. Like, you know, now we say, you know, these days, everybody is really well-rounded. You know what I mean? You kind of have to do everything. Yaya's like, not doing striking.
No.
Not interested. Yeah. No, I'm grappling.
Yeah. No, that's going to be a fun one. Austin Hubbard, that fight should be fun. I don't know much about – how do you say that? Figlak? Filiak?
Oh, Michal Figlak.
Figlak. I don't know
much
about –
have to give it much of a – I don't think you have to be that weird with the the pronunciation on it. He lost his debut.
His debut. Yeah. But he's coming over with Cage – was a champ at Cage Warriors, right?
I don't think he won the title over there, but I know he had a good run over there. I want to say he was like 4-5-0 over there.
Yeah, that's good.
Which obviously, you know, Cage Warriors is the tops when it comes to Europe. Lost his debut and then had a – he was supposed to fight somebody, and he had to withdraw.
Duncan.
Chris Duncan. That's Chris Duncan. Right. He's returning after that loss. It's been – I mean, you don't know much about him because it's been about a year and a half since
he made
his
debut. That's
what
I was going to say. I'm like, why do I not recognize him?
Yeah, you haven't seen much of him. If you're a hardcore Cage Warriors fan, you'll definitely know him. But it's been about a year and a half since debut, so we'll see where he stands in there. Dontel Mays, Kyle Machado could be fun at heavyweight. And, I mean, look, kicking it off with Gabriel Benitez and Machate. I mean, that could be fun. So, you know,
it's a
again,
good card.
I think it's a good card. I think, again, I'm not trying to spoil it or ruin anything. I'm knock on wood here, but I think when we get done Saturday, if you watch it, I think you're going to be like, hey, I had a good time. There were some fun fights in there. There were some highlights I can take from. And nobody's asking you to pay for it, right? It's on ESPN Plus.
That's the best part right there. I mean, like, this ultimately, outside of, you know, paying for ESPN Plus, it's a free fight card, and it's going to be fun. I mean, it's going to be a lot more fun than watching some random-ass playoff hockey.
Wow.
Unless it's the Golden Knights.
Unless it's the Golden Knights, I get it. It's so hard for you, man. It's Golden Knights versus Dallas in the first round.
Oh, really?
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So,
I saw the Knights pulled out a good one yesterday.
They did.
That was good. But, yeah, I mean, this card is going to be good. It is what it is. I mean, again, people are just, you know, we just had 300. Now you're going to ask them to go back in their wallets for the next week. I think you're going to have a lot of people, you know, if you're going to skip paying for next week, watch this one and then take next week off or something.
Yeah.
I mean, like, this is gonna be a good night. It's a good night, and we say this over and over again. You know, it's the sneaky little cards that always deliver the big bangers because they're trying to get to that spot. You know, they're trying to get on the big pay-per-views, and you know, Tim Means, he likes fighting at the Apex. He wants to get that $300,000 bonus and bring it. So I think it's gonna be good.
He was like dead serious too, right?
100%.
He's not like just joke. Like, I think we were all like, yeah, that's funny, right? Like $300,000 bonuses. That's hilarious. He's like, no.
I was like, so what amount would you like to see? He's like, no, $300,000.
We just had $300,000. What's the difference between a sold out, yes, you know, a T-Mobile Arena, $16 million gate, and the Apex as to why we can't do $300,000 bonuses?
I see no difference.
It's the same.
It's the same.
Yeah, it was funny. But I love it. Hey, you got to push for it. Why not, yeah, man? And shout out to Tim Means, man. He's you know, a wrestling coach in his spare time, yeah, man, and talking about just the you know, the work ethic that wrestling brings, and as he always talks about it, you got some kids that, you know, come from a rough upbringing where he's from. He stayed where he's from, and he's trying to help them out. And I love too that he was just like, some of these parents though, and it's like what would you tell the parents? Like, just sit down, let me coach. And it's so true, right? Yeah. Like, you
sit
see
down,
it with
shut up
with all sports, but especially with, like, yeah, you know, the grappling and the wrestling. You see it, like, it's like, bro, unless you are a black belt or something, unless, you know, like, and even then,
yeah,
you're not the coach at that time. If you want to coach, you want to sign up, yeah, for the coaching staff, sign up for the coaching staff.
I think it's because like wrestling, there's so many tournaments, there's so much stuff. Like, the families are so invested because, like, so much of their time,
yeah,
is invested in that stuff. Yeah, I mean, who hasn't seen the video? There was her son. I don't even know the woman's name. And I don't know what the son. Her son was, like, maybe undefeated going into, like, a senior year or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Lost, and you see her, like, tearing up her glasses, stand and, like, breaking. I'm like, dude, that's what you get when you get, like, wrestling families.
It is funny. Like, my wife makes funny because, like, when my kids roll, like, I'm quiet. Like, I'll keep my mouth shut. Yeah. Like, I know, like, it's not my place to say anything, right? Yeah. But I will, like, I'm doing, like, movements, you know what I mean? Like, underhook here, like, yeah, don't hip, but, you know what I mean? Like, trying to, like, I mean, not for him to see me, but it's just within me.
Yeah,
I'm just,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
come on. It's funny, but I keep my mouth shut. I sit there and I stay.
How's
quiet.
The wife? Does she do it? Is she verbal?
Oh, she'll, yeah.
I bet she does.
Yeah. She's
she'll let him know.
She's ready to fight people in the competitions, man. It's crazy.
That's awesome.
She's got that. All right, listen. I won't keep everybody for a ton of time. Appreciate any feedback you have. Let's hear the pay-per-view question. Where you chime in at? Let me know if you're okay with interviews. I think I'd like to do more of that. I've just been giving it some thought. And
throwback to the
throwback. Yeah, you know, as much as we like to talk, you know, I don't really have a. I kind of want to use this as an outlet for interviews. So, anyway, let me know if you're okay with that. Appreciate everybody who supports us over at patreon.com/the MMA Roadshow. That helps us out a ton, covering the cost that it takes for us to produce this podcast. So, we really do appreciate that. We will have the return of the and a half episode this week. Not too kind of an early day car. Not bad, right? What, like 1 p.m. 1 p.m. start? 1 p.m. start? 4 p.m.
I think something like that.
Yeah, not too bad. So we'll have that too.
I like that.
I like the day cards as well.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind 10 a.m. start. Like, if we're going to do it, because I find when we're just sitting around waiting for, like, even like the noon to get in or whatever, I'm just like,
let's go.
Can we just go?
Let's
now?
Go work.
Like,
let's go work.
Let's
go see some people fighting. Let's go see some face punching going on. I want to see that going on.
And anytime we can get in and out, it's still never light out, I think, when I leave, even for some reason. But yeah, if we can get in and get out, let's do it, man. Morning fights, a little coffee, a little combat, coffee and combat. Let's do this.
Let's do it. All right, now what I'm going to do is go see my son, make sure he's doing okay after his doctor's visit today. Shout out to him one more time for being a tough little guy. Hopefully we get him healed up and back on the mat soon. In the meantime, hope everybody enjoyed the weekend off, but we're back now. It's getting started. The run is going. We go right back into a pay-per-view next week. This thing's traveling around the world. Lots of stuff going on, so let's go. Appreciate it. Thanks for the support. More importantly than anything, thanks for listening.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.